Welcome to Brain Lady Speaks with Julie Anderson on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. Julie Brain Lady Anderson is considered to be one of the nation's top experts on the brain-personality connection. She has been inspiring her audiences to fire up their brains and ignite positive changes in their relationships. And now she is here to bring that knowledge to you. The information she shares will help those who hear it to accelerate their success in life and business through the discovery of their natural gifts and maximizing their brain power. When you learn to tap into the potential of your natural gifts and the power of the brain-mind connection, there is no limit to what you can accomplish. Today and every Wednesday on Brain Lady Speaks, you'll explore the latest findings to see how they have practical application in your life. And now, get ready to join Julie Anderson on Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. Take it away, Julie.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to the Brain Lady Speaks radio show. This is Julie Brain Lady Anderson here with you today on May 4th, the first Wednesday in May. Thank you for spending this time with me. We have an exciting month. I love it. We're going into now our fifth month of the show and enjoying every moment of it, having lots of fun with lots of guests and lots of neuroscience practically applied in our lives to help us to live better, happier lives. And we have a lot of exciting stuff going on this month. We're actually going to have three different guests on the show. We're going to talk about, let me look at my schedule here. We're going to talk more as the month goes on about music therapy. We started on music and the brain last week. We talked a bit about that, and we're going to deal more with the actual therapeutic benefit of music and how it's being actively done in psychology and with kids and trauma and brain disorders and whatnot. So we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have a special guest on this month regarding that. We're going to have another guest that's going to be talking about suicide prevention. So a couple of weeks ago, we talked about managing depression. But what if that depression is really, really, really serious? What if there are suicidal thoughts? Well, we're going to have a guest speaker who has a personal experience with losing someone in her family. We're going to have her on this month. And then we're going to have a specialist on, or a gal who is going to talk about brain health and stroke prevention. She actually experienced a stroke at a very young age in her 30s. And so she's going to be on, and we're going to talk about practical ways that we can keep our brain healthy and prevent that. So we've got just a really exciting month lined out for you, as well as our show today. But before we get to the show today, before we get started, I want to look at our monthly calendar. If you've listened to the first show of every month, I always take a look at the things that are happening. As a business consultant, one of the things that I always tell my clients to do is take a look at what's going on around you, and then, or what's going on in the calendar, what's happening in the news. What can you use to wrap in and benefit your business in a marketing aspect? So I always say, look at the calendar, and then, you know, work your posts, your blog posts, your articles you write, the things that you talk about on social media around what is happening, because these are trending things. These are things that lots of people are talking about, and that's going to help you get more exposure in your business. So what's going on in May? What's special about May that we can wrap into our businesses or into our activity? Well, May is ALS Awareness Month. A lot of over the last couple of years with the ALS Water Challenge, Ice Bucket Challenge, that got a lot of attention, ALS. Asthma Awareness Month. It is Asian Pacific American Heritage Month. So perhaps you can wrap that in there. It's Motorcycle Awareness Month. Woohoo! There's some fun you can do there. Stroke Awareness Month. Okay, see, I'm going to wrap that into my theme as part of what I'm doing during the month in an interview, right? It is also considered Jewish Heritage Month. Now, some of the days that we're talking that are special during the month of May, well, did you know that yesterday was Teacher Appreciation Day? Can you wrap that into something that you're writing about during the week or into your theme for your posts and your podcasts or whatnot for the week? Of course, tomorrow is Cinco de Mayo. You have Mother's Day on the 8th. You have Armed Forces Day and Memorial Day on the 21st and the 30th. And here's a fun one. Did you know that May 28th is National Burger Day? I bet you didn't. I didn't even know there was such a thing as National Burger Day, but there is. So what can you do? How can you have some fun with that and wrap those in? So those are some things that I just want to make you, as a business coach, I want to make you aware of coming up during the month of May and how you might be able to wrap those into your marketing for the month or in your themes for the month and get better exposure on the web. Okay. So let's switch back over to neuroscience and to the topic that we're going to be talking about today. And our topic for today is the neuroscience of resilience. So what is it that makes us bounce back? What is it that helps us to have a strong bounce back muscle when we go through something traumatic? And it's not the same in all people. There are definitely individuals who tend to be more resilient, and they tend to bounce back faster or deal with stresses in their lives better. And there are those that, according to some research, roughly 10% of the population that never bounce back, that suffer with PTSD or have something traumatic happen in their life, and they just can't ever move past that. So what we're going to discuss on the show today is we're going to review what happens to our brain during trauma and why some people have a better ability to control that reaction in the brain. And then we're going to talk about some of the research coming out of neuroscience and what is it showing us, what is science showing us goes on in the brain in that traumatic state, during that stress state, and then what happens that brings our brain back to an emotional equilibrium, if you will. So what are the chemical reactions within the brain that calm our brain back down or give us the ability to come back into focus? And how much of that is within our control? We're going to discuss that. How much of that can you and I control in getting those the correct hormones or the correct neurochemicals to respond in the brain to bring yourself out of a traumatic situation? And then can we improve this bounce back muscle? Are there techniques? Are there things that we can do where we can actually train it? Or is there medical therapy? Is there not just counseling, but is there a pill that one day we'll be able to take during a traumatic situation and boom, it's going to bring our brain back into an emotional equilibrium, if you want to call it that. So those are the things that we're going to discuss today on the show. We're going to talk about that a little bit, and then we're going to do some proactive steps at the end. You know, I always like to stop on a positive note. I don't want to always just depress people during the call by talking about all the damage that can happen, but I want to talk about some of the very positive things that we can do to bring ourselves or to make our lives better, to use this neuroscience to improve our life, our businesses, and our relationships and how we interact and deal with ourselves and with others. So that's going to be the focus of the show today. And I want to remind everyone, before we get into the body of the show, I want to remind everyone, please reach out to me. Stay in contact with me. Follow me on the social media outlets, whether that is Brain Lady on Twitter or Purple Brain Lady on Facebook. That's my business page. That's my fan page. That's where I post a lot of cool things and information about the show, as well as blogs and articles that I write, or bits of information, articles. A lot of times I'll share articles and videos that other people have done that I find very beneficial that I think you'll benefit from. So I share a lot of that on there. So reach out and connect with me in those. I'm also on LinkedIn, Brain Lady on LinkedIn, and email me. If you have an idea for a show, if you've read a really cool article, maybe you've been reading cognitive neuroscience articles or scientific articles, or maybe just had an experience in your life that you think would be a good topic for the program, or you know of someone that might be a good interview for the program, reach out to me. Email me at info@ yourbestmindonline.com. And we'll see if we can't wrap it into the program somehow or get it on the calendar. You know, maybe you have someone who has dealt with stroke or has dealt with suicide loss. You know, those are things that you can share with me. And if we can fit them into the program, or if you want to share your story, you know, maybe we can wrap them into something that we're currently have planned. We're going to have a lot of parenting coming up in the future, a lot of stuff on understanding the brain of your children and being a good parent, using neuroscience to help us become better parents. And that's going to be a lot of the focus in June. So reach out to me, touch bases with me, share with me your ideas, and get ready to get comfortable. We're going to cut out to break here in just a minute, and then we're going to come back and talk about resiliency. So heat up your tea or coffee, get your water, wet your whistle, and come back to me with me after the break on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show.
With her thorough understanding of brain chemistry, Julie Anderson provides you with tools and processes that will change your life in a positive way. Julie uniquely blends science and psychology when she shares her knowledge and information with businesses, entrepreneurs, women's groups, and families to improve workplace morale and productivity, parents creating dynamic relationships with their children, and women achieving more in life and business. Julie Anderson will be right back with Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network.
Imagine what your life would be like if you could master the thoughts in your head that hold you back, the thoughts that prevent you from living the very best version of the life you're here to live, the very best business that you're here to create. I'd like to invite you to join the Art of Personal Mastery, the free online event that starts the 11th of April. All you have to do to join is to go to www.theartofpersonalmastery.com, enter your name, your email, click get access, and I'll share with you how to join me and 21 leading experts from around the world talking about how to break your bad habits, create powerful new ones, master your mindset and your actions to create the life you're here to live. I'll see you there. www.theartofpersonalmastery.com. I'll see you soon.
Welcome back to Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. By including the latest scientific research on the brain-personality connection, Julie Brain Lady Anderson provides her clients with the all-important why behind what people do and how they think. The information she shares will help those who hear to accelerate their success in life and business through the discovery of their natural gifts and maximizing their brain power. Here again is your host, Julie Anderson, with Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome back. Welcome back to the show. Okay, so let's just dive right into this topic of resiliency. What is resiliency? What does it mean to be emotionally resilient? Well, this is our bounce back muscle. So when we go through a stressful situation, whether that stressful situation is burning your toast in the morning, or it is something highly emotionally traumatic, such as going through a natural disaster or experiencing, severe abuse as a child, how strong is that muscle? How well do we bounce back? And in general, most people manage to do it okay. They manage to get back up on their feet, given enough time, and continue to move forward in their life. Some people do it more rapidly than others. They just seem to bounce back stronger. They have a heftier muscle. And other individuals, as I mentioned earlier, about 10% of that population that are not very good at bouncing back. As a matter of fact, they're very poor at bouncing back. They suffer emotionally for their entire life, really struggle with getting past certain trauma. So let's go back and review real quick, because we've done this on previous calls, but I think it's important to take a look and remind everyone what happens in our brain during a traumatic experience. All right. So There was an article that was written in March of 2009, Scientific American, and I like the way that they put this, so I'm just going to kind of quote this. It says, when faced with danger, the brain initiates a chemical cascade that primes you to put them up or run away. In other words, that fight or flight, right? It says, in turn, a series of chemicals in the brain can dampen this response, thereby promoting resilience to stress. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, is that. But on what actually happens is this cycle, this stress response begins when this message goes out, goes from the amygdala, that there is a dangerous situation, and it releases a chemical. The hypothalamus releases corticotropin releasing hormone that causes the pituitary gland to secrete ACTH, basically adrenaline, okay, gets the adrenal glands involved and releases cortisol into the body. Now, all of this gives you that strength, that power to get up and respond to a challenging situation. So if there's a tsunami coming and you have to run really fast to get to high ground, right? This stress response is life-saving. It gives you that adrenaline that surges through your body, that takes all of the focus out of the non-essential, what it considers at that very moment, the non-essential functions, digestion. You know, it kind of stops all of that type of thing, even body temperature regulation. It like stops all of those functions, because in a survival mode, those are considered non-essential functions. And then you run faster to get away from danger. And then hopefully within a quick amount of time, your bounce back muscle kicks in and you come back to this emotional equilibrium, if you will. But this is very damaging. We discussed this before on the show. If you are going, when you are going through this situation, your body continues, if you're constantly under stress, your body continues to produce this cortisol. The adrenal glands continue to push this out. And this can actually damage brain cells in the hippocampus and the amygdala. And these are regions of the brain that are involved in memory and emotion. So you wind up being an emotional and physical wreck if you are in this constant surge of stress, if your brain is constantly feeling under stress. And we've talked about this. Go back and listen to one of the previous shows on stress. Could it be killing you? I go into this in a little bit more detail. But that, in a nutshell, is what happens in our brain. And what happens for individuals who suffer from things such as, say, PTSD, those types of situations, what goes on in the brain is very, very similar to what initially happened in the beginning of an attack. So when, for example, there was a study that was done in 2000 by Dennis Charney and other researchers at Yale University, and it was affiliated at the time. They were doing this study affiliated with a VA hospital in West Haven, Connecticut. And they found that intense stress of mock interrogations, so these were not situations that were real, they were false, and the veterans knew, or the soldiers knew this. They had higher levels of different chemicals in their body, and their brain responded very similar to the original, to what really happens in the brain when you're going through a real situation. So the thought process is, and what they've studied when they've studied the brain, is that individuals, when you are rehashing or you are reliving certain experiences, such as in post-traumatic stress disorder, the brain relives it as if it was actually still in that situation. So those symptoms that initially take place in the first experience will continue to flush those hormones in the brain, the same as when it actually happened. So it's something that we have to, that some people deal with and they fight with quite a bit. They experience this quite a bit because they just aren't able to do this bounce back. But there's some great information coming out as to how these things what the brain actually does when it's flipping it, when it's doing the opposite, when it's bringing the brain back down to normalcy. But before we get to that, I want to talk about why is it that some people have stronger bounce back ability than others. Well, part of it may be these chemicals that I'm going to talk about when we come back from the next break. But part of it could be, in my opinion, and the opinion of some of my colleagues, individuals that are experts in this field, that it has to do with your brain personality connection. And some individuals, their brains are wired, they're just wired differently. They're wired with a stronger muscle. Or perhaps the experience that they experienced, the traumatic experience that set things off for them in the beginning, cut them deeper, if you will, in their brain than someone else. For example, let me paint this for you. They've done studies where there have been siblings who have been raised in the exact same dysfunctional situation, abusive atmosphere growing up, and they will find that one of the siblings will move into adulthood and really go on to live a fairly quote-unquote normal, emotionally normal life, whereas another sibling who experienced the same abuses or the same traumatic life growing up, well, they don't tend to bounce back as well. As a matter of fact, they may stay ruminating in this negative emotional state. So a lot of study and research has been done on why is it? Why is it that one sibling can get past it and the other sibling can't? Well, I want you to think about your individual brain personality connection and how that could possibly be affecting the situation. So we talked about, again, on one of the past shows, we talked about your sensory modality. So how is it that your brain processes information most efficiently and effectively? Through which sense? And there are three main modalities. There is auditory, there's visual, and there's kinesthetic. So the auditory processes information most efficiently and effectively based on what they hear, sound, words, the visual based on what they see, what comes in through their eyes, and the kinesthetic based on what they feel. Okay. You want more information on that? Go back and listen to the other show. But in short, that is, you have one of these that it just hits your brain faster and deeper. So here's the thought process. If I am an auditory and my sister is a kinesthetic and we grow up in the same traumatic atmosphere, and that atmosphere is flooded primarily with a lot of yelling, a lot of negative words, a lot of you're not worthy, those types of things, it's possible that the auditory individual may have a more difficult time bouncing back than the kinesthetic individual because the auditory individual was hurt deeper. Their brain processed that pain a little bit deeper than the kinesthetic. And the same would be true if there is physical or sexual abuse. The opposite would be true. The auditory may be able to move past that traumatic experience in their life with a little bit greater ease than the kinesthetic because the kinesthetic has a brain that responds to touch deeper and with more emotion. So for the kinesthetic to be physically or sexually abused is going to hurt more in the brain than for the auditory. Does that make sense? So if your brain is more sensitive in certain areas and it is abused in that area of sensitivity, it is going to have a harder time flexing its bounce back muscle because it's going to be cut a little bit deeper. Your brain's processing, main processing center is going to be cut a little bit deeper. All right. The same as if you have what I call that nurturer brain personality connection or brain quadrant dominance. If you are in a situation where you lose someone in your life that really messed up that harmony in your life, you may have a harder time dealing with it and getting past that emotion and healing from it than, say, someone who is more left-brained or more logical or more looking at things with a less emotional type of a viewpoint. So this is one line of working theory that some psychologists and brain personality connection experts are looking at in why it is that some people bounce back better than others. And another line has to do with the bounce back hormones. So science has been able to identify chemicals that are in your brain, proteins that get developed in your brain or in your body that help you to bounce back better. And what we're going to do, so that's one line of thinking as to why you might be more damaged, is this psychological brain personality connection factor. And the other is this, do you have more of those chemicals in your body and in your brain to help you bounce back better? So we're going to discuss that part when we come back from break. And then we're going to finish up at the end of the show as some practical things that we can do to exercise that muscle. If we're not naturally gifted with a strong, resilient muscle, then how can we exercise it? So we are about halfway through the show at this point. Again, take a break, get up, stand, dance for a minute to the tunes that are going to come on, and join me after the break on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show.
With her thorough understanding of brain chemistry, Julie Anderson provides you with tools and processes that will change your life in a positive way. Julie uniquely blends science and psychology when she shares her knowledge and information with businesses, entrepreneurs, women's groups, and families to improve workplace morale and productivity, parents creating dynamic relationships with their children, and women achieving more in life and business. Julie Anderson will be right back with Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living radio network.
Congratulations on being the proud owner of an adorable, soft, cuddly, sweet-smelling, smiling, cooing, hungry, tired, gassy, screaming little bundle of joy. So now what? Where's the owner's manual for this thing? Where are my instructions? Right here. It's Baby and Toddler Instructions with Blythe Lipman on TogiNet.com. Infant care specialist Blythe Lipman has worked with babies for over 20 years and works extensively with new parents, providing workshops, in-home visits, tips, and daily phone calls to ease those frazzled nerves. With Baby and Toddler Instructions, you can get the advice you need on how to survive and enjoy your baby's first year. For more information on Blythe and how she can help you, go to babyinstructions.com. From 32 ways to stop a baby from crying to 14 ways to get a baby to eat and so much more, it's Baby and Toddler Instructions with Blythe Lipman on TogiNet.com.
Have you heard? The pages of American Patchwork and Quilting magazine come to life on our new weekly online radio show, American Patchwork and Quilting. Join Pat Sloan, our blogging and quilt designer host, as she talks about the latest trends, ideas, and inspirations. Her guests include quilt pattern designers, authors, quilt shop owners, and our editors. All quilters, just like you. Call in with your questions. Get quilting tips from industry experts. Learn about free patterns. Hear behind-the-scenes stories from our magazines, American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilt Sampler, and Quilts and More. Get the scoop on free stuff and find out more about the best independent quilt shops in North America. To listen to a live show, tune in Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern. Just log on to allpeoplequilt.com/radio. To hear past shows, go to iTunes and search for American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We hope you'll join us because we know that quilting changes everything.
Welcome back to Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living radio network. By including the latest scientific research on the brain-personality connection, Julie Brain Lady Anderson provides her clients with the all-important why behind what people do and how they think. The information she shares will help those who hear to accelerate their success in life and business through the discovery of their natural gifts and maximizing their brain power. Here again is your host, Julie Anderson, with Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living radio network.
Welcome back. Okay. So resiliency, what is going on in the brain that happens that will tone down the brain's alarm system a little bit, and why some people may have this going on a little bit with a little bit higher levels of these hormones? So we know that these stress hormones are there to help us in difficult situations where, well, there are also chemicals and hormones in our brain that will lessen the effects of cortisol, okay, that will slow down or make it bring your body back to this emotional equilibrium that I talked about earlier. So two of these that they're doing a lot of research on is DHEA, and you've probably seen this in the health food store. It is, let's see if I can pronounce this correctly, dehydroepiandrosterone. Yes, it is drosterone. There is an R in there. So dehydroepiandrosterone, that is DHEA. And it, as I said, it can lessen the effect of the cortisol. So we know that an overabundance of the cortisol produced by the adrenal glands can actually damage these brain cells in areas of the hippocampus and the amygdala. So we don't want that, especially because this is heavily involved with memory and emotion. And the last thing any of us want to do is have any more difficulty trying to figure out where we put our keys, right? We want to hang on to our memory. So this DHEA, it seems to lessen the effect of the cortisol, which is really positive. And some individuals may have a better ability, their brains may be more capable of producing this. Another chemical in the brain is neuropeptide Y, and it appears to reduce anxiety by counteracting the effects of corticotropin-releasing hormones that are being released by the hypothalamus. So again, it's like the body goes into, you're running away from the tsunami, you're running away from the tidal wave that's coming towards you, right? You get to a high ground, you take a couple of deep breaths, and now what the brain does is it says, okay, the immediate danger is over, so I'm going to switch on DHEA and neuropeptide Y in the body so that it's going to counter effect all of these hormones that I just sent into the body to get you into a safe place. And this will allow the body then to turn on those important functions, you know, the digestion and all of these different things that it took the energy away from to be able to, you know, do the fight or flight. So this is a positive finding that, or a positive thing that they have found. They have done different studies. Again, this study that was done at the Yale University and the VA hospital in West Haven, Connecticut, they found that under intense stress of interrogations, U.S. soldiers who had higher blood levels of the neuropeptide Y performed better during these exercises. So they seemed to keep their cool better. They seemed to have a better head about them, so to speak. There was another study that was done in 2006 at the Bronx Veterans Affairs Medical Center, and they discovered that elevated levels of the chemical, the neuropeptide Y, in combat veterans meant a lower risk of them suffering from PTSD. So there could be not only connected to the experiences that we have in our life, our brain personality connection. So what portions of our brain are most sensitive in different situations, but also how well does our body produce these hormones or these chemicals in the brain? There's a bunch of studies. There's another study that is being done on a protein called Delta-Fos-B. And this was being done at Mount Sinai Medical Center. And they found that this Delta-Fos-B appears to protect mice and possibly humans against stress induced from being alone and isolated or threatened by more aggressive mice. So this particular Delta-Fos-B acts as a molecular switch that turns on a whole set of genes, inducing the production of proteins that they encode that register high levels of resilience in rodents and was deficient. This is interesting. So this Delta-Fos-B was deficient in postmortem brain tissue of depressed patients, so depressed people. So some of the studies was being done on mice, on rodents, but they did postmortem, when they did the autopsies, the postmortem discovery in the brain was that this protein, this Delta-Fos-B, was much lower. It was deficient in individuals who had suffered from depression. So we're noticing not only is it connected to a life experience, to our brain wiring, but also to how well our brains or our bodies develop or promote these different anxiety-reducing hormones or even proteins. Pretty exciting information, because now the thing is okay, now that we have this knowledge, what can we do with it? Now that we know, it could be a combination here of your brain personality connection being damaged on your sensitive nerve, so to speak, your brain nerve. It's these different hormones or chemicals or proteins in the brain. So can there be a pill or pills that can help out? Well, let's not be too overly. I don't want you to just go running out after this show and stocking up on DHEA and trying to find a source of neuropeptide Y so that you can deal with stress better. I'm not saying that. I personally do have a bottle of DHEA in my cupboard, but I'm not necessarily promoting that or advocating that as your new treatment for stress. But it is interesting to look at what's coming out of neuroscience and how there is the potential that these types of things can be helpful. But we have to be careful, because it is kind of everything you have to take with a holistic approach, especially when it's coming when we're talking about the brain or when we're talking about physical health, because there is a ton of information and you kind of have to weigh it all in balance. And there are individuals who have really studied people who have gone through a lot of traumatic experience. There's a gentleman called Dr. Bonanno, and he did studies on following individuals during and after very difficult situations. For example, he studied at the Catholic University in Columbia. He interviewed survivors of sexual abuse. He interviewed survivors, the New Yorkers who had gone through the 9/11 attacks, the Hong Kong residents who had lived through SARS. And he looked at them and he studied what they went through as they were going through the stress and the emotions and then into survival years later. And in actuality, being melancholy, being sad, having that grief immediately during a traumatic experience, that's normal. And trying to suppress that is not something you want to do. It's a normal process that your brain has to go through. The key is how do you strengthen your bounce back muscles so that you don't stay in that situation? And there's a lot of different things that they've done, and we're going to discuss more of it when we come on the last segment. But it's interesting when studying PTSD that they have to get people to work through that, whatever that initial trauma was. And there's even debates on how to actually do that. There is, for a long time, there was suggestion of, and I personally feel this is a great way to do it, and that's joining support groups. I think there's enough study out there to say that support groups are good. But at the same time, they're saying that there should be some caution with this, because reliving the event too often or too much can create too much of the stress release continuing to happen within your brain. So you have to balance that with very positive experiences, doing things such as laughter therapy. I know that sounds very strange, but laughter therapy, right? Things that are going to make you happy, things that are going to make you feel those. In the past, I've talked about what happens in laughter in the brain and how it actually releases endorphins, and endorphins are very healthy. But you have to understand what's actually going on in the brain. Neuroscientists have seen how, by looking at these using SPECT scans, they measure the blood flow in individuals recounting traumatic events. And when a non-traumatic memory is induced in a person, in this case it was Vietnam veterans, the brain was shown to fire equally on the right and left side of the brain, right and left hemispheres of the brain. However, when the traumatic flashback was induced, the brain's right hemisphere where images, visions, and emotions originate, become extremely active and the left brain shuts off. So that's why I'm saying that you can't, when you're reliving that moment over and over and over again in your brain, you are having that same chemical reaction of the amygdala kicking into gear and the cortisol flushing into this system. So what you have to do is you have to develop the ability to induce that or start flexing and working that bounce back muscle, that resilient muscle, as soon or as quickly as these negative thoughts or the negative memories come into your brain, because you have to induce that counteraction that we talked about. You want to get the brain to kick out the DHEA naturally and the neuropeptide Y naturally. So there are certain steps and certain things that you can do that might be very helpful in calming the brain down and getting it to do this better. So when we come back from break, we're going to discuss those in more detail. So stand up again, wet your whistle, take a sip of your hot tea or coffee, and join me for the last segment on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show.
With her thorough understanding of brain chemistry, Julie Anderson provides you with tools and processes that will change your life in a positive way. Julie uniquely blends science and psychology when she shares her knowledge and information with businesses, entrepreneurs, women's groups, and families to improve workplace morale and productivity, parents creating dynamic relationships with their children, and women achieving more in life and business. Julie Anderson will be right back with Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network.
Imagine what your life would be like if you could master the thoughts in your head that hold you back, the thoughts that prevent you from living the very best version of the life you're here to live, the very best business that you're here to create. I'd like to invite you to join the Art of Personal Mastery, the free online event that starts the 11th of April. All you have to do to join is to go to www.theartofpersonalmastery.com, enter your name, your email, click get access, and I'll share with you how to join me and 21 leading experts from around the world talking about how to break your bad habits, create powerful new ones, master your mindset and your actions to create the life you're here to live. I'll see you there. www.theartofpersonalmastery.com. I'll see you soon.
Welcome back to Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. By including the latest scientific research on the brain-personality connection, Julie Brain Lady Anderson provides her clients with the all-important why behind what people do and how they think. The information she shares will help those who hear to accelerate their success in life and business through the discovery of their natural gifts and maximizing their brain power. Here again is your host, Julie Anderson, with Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Okay. So last segment of the Brain Lady Speaks radio show. Let's get to some proactive stuff. So we know that in the brain, there's this chemical reaction that takes place. Possibly if you want to add the DHEA into your vitamin routine, that's your decision. I'm not saying that it's going to cure everything. I'm just saying it might help to deal with excessive cortisol in your body, which is promoted by stress. But there are also a lot of functional, proactive things that we can do in our day-to-day life. There, Dr. Mark Galston, he has worked with suicidal teens and trained FBI and police hostage negotiators. And he says that what ultimately heals people is the ability to integrate all three circuitries in the brain. And what he means by all three circuitries in the brain is when you are able to engage your thinking portion of the brain and engage the emotion portion of the brain, the right and left hemisphere, and then what some people call the reptilian brain, that portion of the brain that houses the amygdala that engages the fight and flight. When you can actually engage them and think your way through it, it becomes, you can become much more effective at bringing yourself back to this emotional equilibrium that we've talked about and calming your brain and stopping the stress hormones from kicking in. There is actually a huge program that was Penn State was doing. It's a resiliency training that was developed to help in the U.S. Army to help soldiers that were going overseas. And the idea was to actually arm people before they experience something traumatic to encourage the help the person to develop this resiliency muscle before they even really needed to use it and help them to develop their own coping abilities rather than dealing with it all afterwards. And there's some pretty interesting things that they are talking about doing because it happens, it works as well afterwards as it does beforehand. So things that you can do. One is the Penn Resiliency Program says that the training involves such mental reframing or such mental exercises as reframing. So reframing the situation into a positive light. Now, sometimes you're going to say, well, you know, how can you look at the death of someone in a positive light? How can you look at sexual abuse as a child in a positive light? Well, look at how it has strengthened your personality or how it has formed the person that you are today based on the life experiences that you have gone through and that you have survived through. When they did this and they helped this there was this Penn Resiliency Program, they did evaluations on in 21 different studies on over 2,400 children from the ages of 8 to 15. And they showed success in preventing depression and anxiety. So teaching kids ahead of time, if something bad happens, how can I always look at the silver lining, so to speak? How can I reframe this situation to look at the positive? So working through these steps, you have to become physically aware of what's going on in a stressful situation. So when you're in this moment of depression or you're in this moment of extreme stress, be cognitively aware of what's going on in your body. What do you feel? You know, are you sick to your stomach? Are you shaking your leg? Are you twirling your hair? What are you physically doing and why? Why are you doing this? Really identify emotionally what's going on. So what's happening in your emotions? What are you feeling? Now, sometimes this is a lot more difficult for men to do. Remember, men do not have as great access to language centers on the right side of the brain, which is where where emotions are housed, or where it's greater access to emotion is on the right side of the brain. So men have a harder time journaling feelings or speaking feelings because they have a harder time attaching words to their emotions. But it's work through it and become physically aware of what, or become emotionally aware of what you are actually feeling. Because sometimes you can think you're angry when in actuality you're afraid. You're afraid of the outcome of what might happen in a situation. That you're identifying the true sense of your emotion is very important because that is going to help you to make the next step. What do I do about this emotion? Is it really necessary to be fearful in this particular situation? Is it really a situation that I need to flee from or that I need to shut down from? Maybe it's just triggering an emotion from the past, triggering an emotion from an experience that you previously had. Remember, when they're scanning the brain, recalling past memories, past negative memories, the chemical responses are the same as if you actually went through it initially, or when you actually went through it initially. So walk your way through. And oftentimes it just takes taking a deep breath. It's not like, okay, I'm got to go sit in my room or in my office for an hour and walk through all of these emotions. No, that's not what I'm saying. It doesn't take that long. It can literally be done within just a few seconds once you start to really train your bounce back muscle, because you're going to walk through these steps fairly fast. You're going to go, okay, what am I feeling? Or what am I doing physically? Where is that coming from? What am I feeling? what is it really? What is the real true source of it? Is it this particular situation, or is it my response to this situation because it was similar to one in the past? Is this situation really something that needs to be causing me this amount of stress? And then you train yourself to think of all, you know, alternative feelings or alternative situation or alternative ways of dealing with it. So if you deal with it emotionally, what's going to be the consequence? You know, what's going to be the result if you act on this emotional impulse that you're feeling versus what can I do? What would be a better way or a positive way to work through this situation for a positive outcome? And the more that you do this, you take a deep breath. It's kind of like when you misbehaved as a child and your parent looked at you and said, take a deep breath and count to 10. What that does is it gives the brain, it gives your emotional, your thinking brain time to catch up with your emotional brain. Because the emotional brain works something like 80,000 times faster. I mean, it works like way faster than your thinking brain. So your emotions kick in long before you really realize what's going on. So by taking a deep breath and really just counting for a few minutes, thinking about it, it helps your thinking brain to catch up with what's going on in your emotional brain and to sort through the situation. And this is a really good way to start flexing and exercising that resiliency or that bounce back muscle, as I like to call it, because that is what is going to help you to realize that the current situation you may be reacting to based on your experience from a past situation. All right. So that's a really good exercise to go through when you're trying to build this muscle. And living your life, I've harped on this so many times before. You know, I'm all about the positivity and all about really doing everything you can to think positive and act positive in different situations. And you're going to experience a healthier, happier life if you do that. So it's all about, you know, identifying what you're going through and then using it for a positive outcome. So how can I, next time this situation happens, I'm going to be better prepared. I'm going to be able to identify it easier, and it's going to connect better, or I'm going to make that cognitive connection better on how to deal with it in a much positive, more positive way. And every time you do this, think about what's happening in your brain. Remember, I talked about those hormones and the proteins. So every time you take that deep breath, and you start to think your way through a certain situation, guess what? Your brain is creating and is setting off more DHEA. You are training it to release more neuropeptide Y. So even if you're not taking it as a supplement or getting a shot of it or taking it in an energy drink, right? You are able to actually train your brain to calm itself down and to work its way through different situations. And in this way, you are flexing, you are exercising that resiliency muscle, that bounce back muscle, which is the stronger it gets, the quicker you will train your brain to work its way into an emotional equilibrium faster, thus reducing that dastardly stress response damage that takes place in the body when cortisol is flushed into the system. Okay. All right. We are just about out of time for the show for today. So I want to wrap things up. I hope this information has been very helpful to you. Again, if you have any questions, you want to know where I got the information from, then, you know, shoot me an email, get in touch with me. You can email me at info@yourbestmindonline.com or info@brainladyspeaker.com. Either one will get to me. My assistants will go through it and will get to me. And we'll answer your questions as many as we can get through. And we will also, like I mentioned in the beginning of the show, be sure to give me any ideas, thoughts, feedback. We are also on iTunes. So if you're listening to this show live right now and you want to go back and listen to it again, you can look up Brain Lady Speaks on iTunes. You want to share it with someone in your family or someone, your friends and colleagues, you can look up Brain Lady Speaks on iTunes, and there I will be. Pretty easy to find me. So work with that. Go back and listen to some of those other shows that I talked about that go into more on the communication styles, the sensory modalities in the brain, And the show on stress was a really good one. We did some real positive work on that one, too, is different things that you can do to train your brain to reduce the stress in your life and make yourself happier and healthier. Okay, so be sure you mark the calendar for the upcoming shows. Remember, we have someone coming on talking about, we're going to be doing an interview of a stroke survivor who actually, she went through stroke very young. And how her diet, how to adjust your diet to reduce your risk factor in that, suicide prevention, lots of exciting stuff for this month. And don't forget to visit the website, go to yourbestmindonline.com. As a matter of fact, there is a little mini, a little sensory modality worksheet that you can go through, little tests that you can go through that's listed on yourbestmindonline.com. So you can take those. And there's also some free downloads, some fun sheets that you can, information sheets that you can download as well. So go over and visit the website, yourbestmindonline.com, and connect with me on all of those social media outlets, LinkedIn, Facebook, all those fun things. And until next week, I want you to have a really positive, healthy, happy week. Do some of those exercises, work that resilience, that bounce back muscle. And until next Wednesday, have an amazing time. Brain Lady Julie signing off.
For tuning in to this episode of Brain Lady Speaks with Julie Anderson. Julie Brain Lady Anderson is considered to be one of the nation's top experts on the brain-personality connection. She has been inspiring her audiences to fire up their brains and ignite